right, so it's that time of the year again. It's time for the IPL auction. It's like an annual event in the Indian cricket, in fact, the world cricket calendar, where everybody, you know, sort of sits back and starts crunching the numbers, starts wondering which team's going to move for which player, what's going to happen at the auction table, who's going to go unsold, who's going to be bought at big prices, which team's going to look good at the end of the auction, and which team could end up turning out as favorites ahead of the season. Of course, that never really guarantees you a title win, but it puts you in good stead always. A good auction always puts you in a good place. So therefore, these events become very, very important for every franchisee. And obviously, it's important for us as well, cricket fans, because it gives us a window into understanding how the game is evolving on an everyday basis. And speaking of that, I think today's episode is going to give us a super insight into what franchisees are thinking as we move into this brand new model of having the same brand in different places across different different territories in the world, across different leagues in the world. And I think today's episode is going to be a fun one, because we are joined by Mumbai Indians' and now MI Cape Town fielding coach James Pamman, friend of the show, of course, more like a mentor to me, somebody that I really, really look up to. So James and I sit down today to chat about, of course, Mumbai Indians and what are they thinking after a bit of a difficult season last time around. What are they thinking heading into this particular auction? Of course, disclaimer, this episode was recorded well back, not obviously now, because teams are not allowed to speak to the media ahead of the auction. So this episode was recorded long time ago, and we're just releasing it now. So we speak about Mumbai Indians, of course, but we also speak about MI Cape Town. We also speak about, the Abu Dhabi franchise that Mumbai have acquired in the league there, in the International T20 League, in the Middle East. And, how this T20 format is sort of carrying the baton forward for the game in this century, and where it's going according to people that work in the game. Which is very interesting insight for us fans who are always interested in sort of understanding where it's going and how can we continue to be abreast of it and not be lost. So a very, very cool episode. A lot of banter, a lot of insights into life at a franchisee. Of course, with me spending time there as well, we had a few common links, and that really made it a very fun episode to sort of record for us. But I hope you folks enjoy it as well. And if you do, I hope you hit the follow button, the subscribe button, and all the other buttons to ensure you never miss an episode of the Indian Cricket Podcast. Welcome to the podcast, first of all. It's been a while that we've connected among the MI faithful, of course, that people that follow the franchise closely. You're the commander, so I'm reporting for duty as always. Commander, how have you been?
It's always a pleasure to see you, and it's always a pleasure to be part of the podcast. And it's wonderful to hear you're having such a successful time with it. So thanks for asking me on again.
Oh, no, it's because of folks like you that give me your time that too late in the evening, as I understand, in New Zealand. So I truly appreciate it. How's it been like to be home, first of all? I never catch you when you're home. You're always on the road.
Yes, no, look, it's been wonderful. The first time in 4 years that I spent spring here in New Zealand with various assignments, and obviously with COVID hitting for the years of 2020 and 2021, we've been in the Emirates regions, either having the full IPL in 2020 and obviously catching up on the final part of it last year. So it's been wonderful to spend spring at home, spend some time in the garden, and obviously do some coaching around the local players. But always looking forward to my the next assignment with MI, which is likely to be in Cape Town with the new franchise.
Now, since you've spoken about that, I want to now get straight into it, actually. How's that sort of panning out for you? It's going to be a year-round operation. I think it's anyway been a year-round operation for you while, it's just been Mumbai Indians. But now it's MI Cape Town, and there's also, cricket booming in the Middle East, all under the MI banner. Yeah. So how does it feel to be a part of that?
Oh, it's really exciting. And I think obviously for the guys who are in the management positions with Mumbai Indians, they've been extremely busy setting up the two new franchises, respectively in Cape Town and the one that's going to be based in Abu Dhabi. So, you know, the people that we know who are in management positions with MI, they've been extremely busy. You know, your Rahul Sanghvis and your Prashant Jangmans and logistical guys, Vivan and Gustav and obviously Jivang. Yeah, just working so hard to make sure that obviously the new franchises are set up just as well as what Mumbai Indians have been over the years. So, you know, those guys are experts and I'm sure they're doing a fantastic job. And for me, in my role, I guess I get to go and work with a new group of players over there in Cape Town, a new head coach, obviously. I've worked solely with Mahela while I've been with MI, so with Simon Cadditch is the coach over there. So it'll be great to work alongside Simon and learn a little bit from him and obviously share my values and understanding of a fielding program. So yeah, very exciting. You know, even for somebody as old as me, you know, you still get excited when you get a new assignment put in front of you.
You shouldn't be saying that. You beat me on the bike every time in the gym. You shouldn't be saying that. But it's interesting because, you know, I still want to be mindful of the fact that, you know, all of you have families, you live away, you know, and at the same time, you're traveling throughout the year. How does this feel, you know, to see franchise cricket expand around the world? What does it mean for you as a sports professional, and how do you go about now sort of balancing work and life?
Yeah, I think certainly myself, over the last 4 years since I joined Mumbai Indians, I had a really nice balance. Obviously, the COVID years that we've had have been challenging. Last year, I spent 10 months away from home. The fact that New Zealand's obviously was a very strict lockdown policy, so it was very hard for us to travel back to New Zealand. So that was tough. But the balance that I've had in my life, I guess, has probably been better since I joined MI.
Oh, wow.
Because
that's nice.
You know, I'm assigned a number of days in the year to work for MI or on MI projects. Whereas previously, when I was a head coach of a domestic first class team here in New Zealand, I was pretty much on the job. You know, 345 days a year. And Northern Districts, where I'm based, we're not just centered in one city. We're spread around six different regions. So logistically getting around and doing the job to the extent that I felt it needed to be done was very challenging and very taxing over 4 or 5 years. So the balance I've had since I joined MI has been really good. And it's exciting. I mean, there's other opportunities to, I guess, go and join different leagues prior to these new franchise leagues being established recently. But that's not something that's ever appealed to me. It's, you know, I try to work along the lines of quality rather than quantity. And I've certainly been very satisfied with my role with MI and have never felt the need to spread my wings and go and join the Pakistan League or whatever is happening in England or some of the other leagues. And that's worked really well for me because it's allowed me some time to spend with, I guess, a bunch of players back here in New Zealand that I've got a long-standing relationship with. Yeah. Occasionally, New Zealand cricket have used me with their A team and obviously with the Black Caps, their national team as well. So the balance has been really, really good for me. And even though I've now committed to doing the role with MI Cape Town, I still believe that I'll have a nice balance over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and since you spoke about MI Cape Town and of course the Abu Dhabi franchise that's going to come up, what does that bring to you as a professional? Because it's going to happen at the topmost level, isn't it? Both of those leagues, there's a lot of impetus behind the SA20 and also cricket in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So what does that sort of bring to you as a professional in cricket?
Oh, it brings excitement, I guess, and a real freshness of working with a different group of players with a different management. And I've sort of become a lifelong learner in my latter years. So, you know, the fact that I can get alongside new coaches that I haven't worked with before and especially new players, you know, I love getting alongside the younger players and listening to them, what their, you know, philosophies are and where they think they can take their fielding in specific in relation to my role game. it gives me a lot of excitement, you know, and I guess that's the main thing that has struck me recently with, you know, the establishments of the new franchises under the MI wing is that, you know, it's exciting. Let's see, you know, we have a strong legacy, obviously, in the IPL, and winning is part of our DNA. So, you know, I guess there'll be some pressure of, you know, being very competitive and trying to provide a winning team for the franchise. But for me, initially, it'll be just really exciting to get alongside those players and that management group and try and pull it all together successfully.
Yeah. When the IPL was coming about in say 2008, 2009, I think it was a very interesting and exciting time for us as well, because we were wondering how the structure is going to pan out. But now it's a little different in the other leagues because we now know what the template is. However, it's still so much about setting culture, isn't it, at the start. How would you go about doing that, you know, with the other coaches? Because you know what you want to stand for as a brand, as a franchise, but at the same time, you're starting pretty much from scratch, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And I think obviously the strong culture of the emphasis around family will be very much part of that. Mm. You know, the MI culture will spread into those two new franchises. Obviously, there's a cross-section of people who are already employed by MI involved in both those teams. And obviously, with Shane being the head coach up there in Abu Dhabi in the Emirates competition, and with guys like myself being involved at Cape Town, then, you know, a lot of those philosophies and I guess values will be shared in those two new franchises. But, you know, always when you bring a new group together, even under the MI banner in the IPL, you know, you have to start and there has to be a vision for the group and, you know, and there has to be some alignment between players, coaches, and management around what it is to be together and what are the key components to, I guess, strive to be successful. So the head coaches will have a big role to play in that. And obviously the rest of us will be there to support them and share our knowledge and our passion and our energies.
The one thing that sort of strikes me is, you know, the City Football Group, right? The one that owns Man City. Yep. They also own Melbourne FC. They also have a couple of franchisees. They've got New York City FC as well in the MLS. And they've got, you know, coaches moving in that circle, right?
Yes.
And they've got players as well looking for opportunities. Do you foresee that happening with Mumbai as well?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful model. Yeah, I think it's a great model that they've got there. And while I've never been closely inside it, I've certainly read plenty about it. And I know there's a coach, obviously, at the moment who's coaching Mumbai City, who was he's an Englishman, but he did some coaching in New Zealand very successfully. And then he went across to Melbourne City and as an assistant coach. And now he's the head coach at Mumbai FC. So, I've seen it work, I guess, firsthand because I followed him very closely. And it is a good model. And it is a way, I guess, to integrate new coaches, perhaps, over the next few years, integrate new players, and ultimately try and get them progressing towards the IPL team, which I think will remain the strongest competition
for
many years to come. But, you know, it's a wonderful model. So hopefully if we set it up properly, it'll provide some fruits for us for the future, as well as winning some competitions.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I was just about to say that Mumbai Indians is box office, right? It is going to be the head office, the main, the HQ. And then you've got little branches all over the world.
Yeah.
With no disrespect to any other league, of course. But that's quite incredible. Which then pulls me towards the 2022 season. Not very good. I mean, in terms of the high standards that Mumbai have set for themselves. But then a young side, a lot of positives. It's shaping up pretty nicely, isn't it, now with youngsters all around the world. You've got Brevis firing, you've got Tim David doing well. Tilak Verma turned out to be an absolute revelation. I mean, you must be licking your lips as management ahead of the 2023 season, because it looks exciting, looks promising.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I was obviously personally very disappointed with how 2020 panned out, 2022, panned out. I certainly felt that the group of players that we had there, were potential semi-finalists. And I think once you get into the playoffs, then, you know, it becomes not a lottery, but it becomes a, you know, a chance for you to do something significant. But we had a poor start, obviously, and everybody will have their opinion on how we went in those early rounds, and we left it too difficult for ourselves to come back and be competitive at the end of the competition, which traditionally we are. But we did see some signs of improvement. And like you say, we did integrate a large number of younger players who were exciting with their futures. So, yeah, it's all about making sure that, you know, the senior players are pulling together and working together with the coach. And obviously we'll have a new coach coming on next year. So, you know, the philosophers will be open for discussion, and we'll have to hit the ground running because, yeah, we know this is such a strong competition. And a lot of those games that we lost early in 2022 were tight encounters, but, you know, we just weren't good enough to win those games. But ultimately, by the end of the season, you know, the optimism was there that we certainly had some players that hadn't played for us previously that we felt could do a really good job moving into the future. And sometimes you have to take a little bit of pain to get some long-term gains. So I guess that's the optimistic view of it. But ultimately, it was a disappointing season.
Yeah. Does that make this upcoming auction very important then?
Yeah, I think, well, everything we do, you know, and I was part of a management group that took some young players up to the UK for a short tour, and that was really exciting, and we saw some good talent on that, and a couple of South African boys joined us on that. Brevis was with us, and Stubbs was with us, and the Jansen boys were around. So we have got some exciting young players, and it is very important either how you trade or how you manage the auction, just to make sure you've got the squad, you know, that you feel that you need to be competitive.
But what's interesting is, you know, I've seen this happen, you know, a lot of times, especially with the mega auction that happens when a lot of the players go back into the pool, that MI sort of focuses on getting a lot of young players in. Last time the batch was, you know, you had folks like Rahul Chahar and Ishan came in when he was, you know, very, very raw, and a couple of others, and these boys did really, really well. This time as well, you've gotten a few really, really exciting players. You know, not just Indians. Tilak Varma and Brevis. I think two names that really stand out. Brevis, the other day, did you manage to catch the 150 that he scored?
Yes, I did. I did.
What is he up to? What is he on?
he's exciting, isn't he? And we just saw that potential in the IPL, in small glimpses, didn't we? You know, there's a couple of innings there I remember against the Punjab Kings team up there, and
there was a game in Pune as well.
And then he set off like a house on fire in one of the games at CCI. So we had a glimpse that, you know, this young man has got a lot of potential and he's got a lot of skills. But it's just that, you know, experience and that understanding of how to do it for longer. You know, we had him up in the UK and he did some similar things up there in the UK, scored a very good 100 against the Durham team at the Riverside Stadium. And he made a very big ground look very small that day as well. And yeah, he's got some real attributes and he's just a real pleasant young man as well. Uh-huh. I've got no doubt he's going to be a cricketer of the highest level in the future, as long as he keeps his feet on the ground and he keeps working hard and he keeps maintaining the passion that he has for wanting to improve, which you know, is always refreshing to work with him because he's one of those guys who just wants to get better and asks lots of questions. So it's great from a coaching point of view. Very exciting.
Yeah, exciting for a commander, isn't it? You've got soldiers that really want to go into battle.
Oh, it's always exciting when you've got willing workers, you know, when you have to try and drag them onto the front line to come and work with you, it makes it hard. But when you've got guys like Brevis and you've got guys like, you know, Tilak Varma is another, he's a great work ethic to him. Sometimes you have to slow him down a little bit because he's got a wonderful work ethic, as have a number of those younger players. And it's always exciting from a coaching point of view.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the one person that you never need to urge to get out on the practice field and bat is Mr. Surya Kumar Yadav, our good friend, who's doing some incredible things at the international level, isn't he?
Yes.
What do you make of him and his journey, you know, since 2019, the first time, I think, did you see him for the first time in 2019 when you joined?
2018, actually.
2018, yeah. And then from there, how's it been like to sort of observe his journey now to being number one in the world?
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, I think such a genuine young man. I'm not so young now, but I guess, you know, 4 years ago when I first met him, I actually thought he was in his early 20s. I didn't realize I think he was 28 at that stage. So he's got
it's
that
just his character.
Sort of
he's just
face.
Full of life. And
he's a refreshing guy to be around. He's got a great outlook on life.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the journey that he's been on, I know he was with MI previous and then he went away to KKR, didn't he? And we brought him back in 2018 and sort of once you get to know and build a relationship with players, you can start asking them some questions. And for me, it was always a little bit of a head scratcher that, you know, he hadn't been more significant in the IPL than what he had. Yeah. I know he'd had his moments where he'd played some very good innings, but the consistency just wasn't there. And then when you dig a little bit deeper and you sort of, you know, you find out why. And, you know, the ultimate thing was that, you know, the burning desire for improvement was still there. So it's just about guidance then. You know, if the fuel is burning from within, it's just about guiding them and having people like Mahela as a mentor and having people like Paul Chapman and, you know, to encourage him around his strength and conditioning and his general fitness. And then some of the decisions that he made, you know, from a personal point of view, alongside his wife around where he wanted to take his career and then to make the sacrifices that he made in order to do that, was just refreshing to see. And it started in 2019 and he played some very good innings for us in 2019, which allowed us to make the final and then go on and win the final. But then the big change was in 2020 when he turned up. And obviously the IPL in 2020 was a little bit later, wasn't it? You know, because of the COVID restrictions, it was deferred until September through November over there in the Emirates. But just the change in him physically was really exciting to see. And then, you know, it just allows you, when you're physically fit, just allows you to perform your skills, you know, for longer. You know, the clarity in your thought process, you know, is just so much stronger. And I think as you get older as well, you understand that you've earned the right to be successful when you've put all that hard work in and you've made those disciplinary decisions and you've made the sacrifices. And and then just the way he plays the game, you know, it's just so refreshing. There's a lot of naturalness about how he goes about it, but that's obviously been born out of all the work that he's been doing since he was a young man playing on the maidens of Mumbai, you know. And he's peaked, you know, and I'm really pleased that he has peaked because, you know, potentially, you know, like many cricketers, you know, it could have been a career where you look back and you go, what might have been, or you might even had a few regrets, but, you know, for Surya to make those decisions specifically around fitness and diet, you know, and then to get the rewards is just a great example for everybody. And it's just thrilling to see, you know, that he's performing with India. He's passionate about playing for Mumbai. He's passionate about playing for Mumbai Indians, but you can tell that he actually loves playing for India, you know. He's very patriotic and just the work that he's doing at the moment. And, hopefully for him it just continues to provide success and fulfillment for him. Yeah, couldn't happen to a nicer young man from my experience from working with him.
Yeah, truly, truly, I completely agree. Just to sort of touch on the technical aspects a little bit, because I've sort of seen him play in the IPL before, and you're absolutely right, he did play a few really good innings for Kolkata, but he would always bat at six or seven, and he would end up, you know, having about 10 deliveries to face and, you know, would be interested to finish games, etc. comes to Mumbai, and then he's been entrusted to bat at three, the first game that he comes out of bat. So first up, whose decision was that? You know, who do you remember whose decision was it to sort of say, listen, he's our number three, because that's an important place to bat. And then from there, how does he go on to sort of strengthen the skills that he already had to access areas that he does, you know, on a cricket field?
Yeah. I think initially that would have been a discussion when he came back into our setup with the head coach Mahela and with Rohit. I would say Rohit would have had a massive role to play in that. You know, I know he really values, you know, Rohit's guidance and mentorship that he's provided for him over the recent time, especially since he's come back to MI. So, you know, I think we saw the potential and certainly the man. And Mahela would have known a lot more about it than somebody like myself who was fresh in 2018. Yeah. They knew the potential was there, and it was about just trying to unlock that potential and provide the best opportunity for it to flourish. And he did. He batted at three, and I think he opened in some games. But certainly through 2018, he played some very dynamic short innings. And our reflections were always that he was very fatigued very quickly. You know, obviously the time of year that, you know, IPL's played through
it's very hot.
April, May, and it's very hot, isn't it? You know,
and
it's an high energy game that he plays. You know, it's not Chris Gayle stand and deliver. It's, you know, he's accessing gaps, and he's got the freshness in his mind that if he can't hit a boundary, then he's going for a three, a two, or a one. So, you know, there's always plenty of running involved in Surya's innings as well. He's a busy player, so. You know, being physically fit was an important step for him to be able to dominate those roles, you know, whether it was opening or whether it was three or ultimately maybe four, I think he said in 2022, wasn't it? Yeah. So, yeah. But I'd say Rohit and Mahela and the management in general were keen to get him up towards the top of the order rather than having him finish in innings because of, I guess, the potential in the talent that they saw he had in him.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. And I think one of the names that he's sort of, or rather his reputation now is that of being able to play 360, which is huge. That is, I mean, you tell us that's a skill that you don't really get, right? It's very rare to have players who can score all around the park. So, I think he always had shots that he could play behind square. But I think what happened is, I feel Mahela and yourselves and everybody gave him the, I think, like you said, strength and conditioning was very important so that he could keep going. But also I felt that he got a little bit more stable at the crease and was also a lot more sorted in his mind. You know, I always looked at him earlier and thought, listen, he's always sort of trying a little too hard. But then now you see him in pressure situations, he rarely flinches, right? Has that also been your observation about him in terms of his progression, mental side of things?
Absolutely. Confidence is a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, once you've had a decent spell of success and you've won some games for your team, your confidence levels go through the roof. And like he does, he's an innovative cricketer. But there's some special skill in there which allows him to do that. You know, he obviously picks the ball up very early and picks length up very early. And I've listened to some interviews, you know, obviously since he's had a success over the last year or so playing with India, you know, the demands of him in the media. And he talks very freely about, you know, how he goes about it. So there's no mystery in it. And I guess for bowlers, it's about how they try and, you know, how they try and stop him. But, you know, he's got an amazing work ethic, you know, and he's got a wonderful imagination. And it's something that I talk about all the time with young players in my role, not only as a fielding coach, but just in general, just to try and almost dream a little bit about the player that you want to be, but then understand that there is a significant amount of work that needs to be done in order for you to fulfill that. You know, and I guess the failures that you have along the way are your teachers rather than the coaches who might try and inhibit you by, don't do that, you know, stop doing that, you know, you might get out, you know. So it's just making sure that the glass is half full rather than half empty. and that you have that imagination. And he's got an amazing imagination, because you can't come up with the things that he does if you don't have the imagination. But it's all underpinned by self-belief, and that self-belief all comes from just an amazing work ethic. You know, he's working hard on his game, you know, when people are sitting on the beach in Goa, you know, at the end of the series, or, you know, Surya's out there, you know, and I've seen it and firsthand, where he's just got an amazing work ethic. Yes, he has his downtime and he has his rests, but, you know, I know that he puts in so much work when the lights are off.
Yeah.
And that allows him to, I guess, you know, have the results that he's having in recent times.
Yeah. We can therefore allow him that extra piece of cake. We can do that.
Yeah, right, well. Well, that's it. You see, before, when he was hoeing into all that cake and not doing the strength and work, he used to sit around his middle. And it's fine for sit around my middle, because I don't have to go out and perform in the middle. So,
yeah.
No, we do share a love of cake, and we try and make sure we indulge as much as possible. We didn't indulge in enough cake last year, unfortunately, because we didn't win enough games.
Not enough
when
wins.
We did win. Yeah. When we did win, we had a nice cake, and we all shared it together.
And it always helps when your wife is such a good cook, right? Divisha is absolutely amazing with dessert. Shout out
to Divisha. Yes, I understand.
They're amazing.
She's an amazing baker. And I know when she took control of Sky's diet, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, that it was amazing what they were cooking up in their room there. And it was brilliant.
No, it's so much about people that you surround yourselves with, isn't it? I mean, in cricket and in life in general, right? Just having the right partner, having the right coaches with you, changes everything.
It does, It's, you know, you do learn by observing, but having that optimistic outlook on life, you know, is really important, because, you know, life is challenging in many respects, you know, and not only when you're challenged to be an international cricketer, but just in general. And obviously the last couple of years have been extremely challenging for everybody. And uncomfortable for everybody. So if you can have an optimistic viewpoint, and you can be grateful for the small mercies that you do have, then you tend to bounce through the challenging periods a little bit easier.
Before the World Cup began, I was on one of the TV channels, and I mentioned this on air that a lot of times these important events are great places to observe the evolution of the game. Because, you know, it is the world stage, everybody's watching and everybody wants to present their best selves. And you really get to understand where the game has reached in its evolution. It's still a young format, right? So what do you make of the format, where it is right now, and where do you think it's going in the future?
Yeah, it's amazing, because that is the question that, you know, you get asked the most in terms of what... You know,
all the time.
And I wish that I, you know, was either intelligent enough, or I had a strong imagination, or a crystal ball to tell you where this game is going. I think, and I always say this, is the most relevant people to ask around where is this game going in the future is the players, because they're the ones who have the biggest influence, you know. And I always see it as my role as a coach, you know, whether I'm on my role with MI as a fielding coach, or whether I'm a head coach, you know, it's trying to make sure that the basics of the game are delivered to a high level. So, you know, that's really important. But then the rest of it is around, you know, the players using their imaginations around, you know, how can you keep pushing this thing, you know, to a different level, because, you know, that the wickets that we play on always have a big say in, you know, where the game could go, you know, because people naturally just, I guess, look at the runs and they go, well, you know, we're playing T10 cricket now, so eventually scores of 220, 230, 240 will become the norm. But they won't if the wickets still provide something for the bowlers, you know, to get their teeth into.
Which is what we've seen in Australia.
Yeah, which is what we've seen in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've seen games of 145, 150, and we see this in the IPL as well, 160, where games can be just as compelling, in fact, probably more compelling, where it's an equal competition between the bat and the ball. So,
yeah,
that's always really important, I think, that you know, when we do consider where is the T20 game moving into the future, as you know, the pitches always play a big role in the scores that are presented. And, you know, just because the game is not as, I guess, run-filled as some, that doesn't mean to say it's not such a good game. It doesn't provide such moments of excitement, you know. So,
yeah.
But I guess it's the imagination of the players, you know, around the things that we see that I guess are spectacular, which we hone in on. We haven't seen that before, or we've pushed that to a different level, whether it's a piece of fielding skill or whether it's a bowler introducing a different type of variation, or whether it's something like Sky, you know, presenting different shots that we've, you know, we've I guess never seen before.
We don't have the imagination for it. He does. And that's what makes it so beautiful, isn't it? That you come across such individuals who put their blood, sweat and everything into it to try and sort of maximize their skill, try and maximize their expression as a professional. And then we, on the other hand, sort of embrace all of this intelligence that's on display, which
that's
I think
is... There's always trailblazers, you know, always trailblazers, but they always need somebody alongside them with a good deal of common sense, you know, a sense of reason at times, you know, just to harness that, you know. And I've seen a lot of very talented, innovative cricketers who've been inhibited in their careers by, you know, coaches saying, you can't do that, it's too high risk, or, you know, but, you know, ultimately, you know, we need to keep embracing it and, see if the game can grow to a different level.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just to make these observations with folks like yourselves, who are involved in the, you know, in the everyday of T20 cricket, in the micro and the macro, is something that I hold very, very dear to myself. And I always appreciate your time and your presence on the podcast, Mr. James Pamman. Thank you so much. As always, this is, you know, I truly value and treasure our connection. We've been connected for a long time. And, yeah, I hope I can see you soon when you're back in Bombay, your second home. Yeah.
Yes, no, I always love getting back to Mumbai. Yeah, it's been a very special part of my life over the last 5 or 6 years. So, yeah, it's become a second home, and it's a wonderful environment that we've got there at MI, and I'm very grateful to be continue to make a contribution. So, yeah, it'll be great to catch up.
Absolutely. We'll do this in person next time, but cheers.
Take care, man. Good luck.
Yep. The Indian Cricket Podcast is produced and presented by Bilgi Media, a new age video and podcast company. You can find the video versions of these conversations and live cricket analysis on Match Day Mornings on my YouTube channel. So go ahead and do the jam. You can support our content as well by getting onto our Patreon account. Link is in all of my Linktree bios everywhere. So go ahead and you can support us. Thank you for coming, and keep coming.